This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The 14-year-old suspected school shooter in Winder, Georgia, in custody. Police say he shot and killed two fellow students and two teachers yesterday. ABC's Faith Abube is there.
What we do know from talking to students who were inside the building when this happened was that at first some of them thought it was just a drill, and then it became real. The alerts started coming in from the school. The alarm went off in the school telling them there was an active shooter in the building. One student told us that they had a substitute teacher in the classroom with them, and immediately they just started scrambling, trying to figure out what to do.
The suspect had been questioned by the FBI last year about making threats. A man carrying a long gun near the Israeli consulate in Munich, Germany, was shot and killed by police overnight. Today is the 52nd anniversary of the attack on Israeli athletes at the Munich Games, the Olympics. 3 months after his gun charge conviction in Delaware, Hunter Biden goes on trial for tax charges in California. This is ABC News. Charges. ABC News releasing rules for next week's presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. They include no live audience and muting microphones when the other person is speaking. In Jakarta, Indonesia, Pope Francis celebrating Mass. More on his Southeast Asia trip from ABC's Inez de la Quatera.
Pope Francis on Thursday visiting Jakarta's Istiqlal Mosque, the largest mosque in Southeast Asia. Together with the country's Grand Imam and other religious leaders, he signed a joint declaration rejecting violence linked to religious extremism and climate change. The declaration says it is worrying that religion is being used to promote violence around the world, while climate change has become an obstacle to the harmonious coexistence of people. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Jakarta, Indonesia.
Target's car seat trade-in program is back. The popular event returns September 15th. Customers dropping off an old car seat can qualify for 20% off a new one. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Waukesha is condemning a campaign ad that tries to link Senator Tammy Baldwin with the deaths of six people at the Waukesha Christmas Parade in 2021. Daryl Brooks Jr. was free on $1,000 bail at the time. Sean Riley says the claims in the ad are false and that they hurt the entire community. About 50,000 older people in Wisconsin can expect big savings on their prescriptions next year. Starting January 1st, out-of-pocket drug costs will be capped at $2,000 a year for people on Medicare Part D.
We have older Wisconsinites that are choosing either limiting their supply of their prescriptions, or they literally are taking resources that are used to pay for other essentials.
David Bowen is with AARP Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The NFL season begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Tonight, the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs kick off the season. Tomorrow night, it'll be the Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Head coach Matt LaFleur said that the team's focus has been on their opponent and not the travel.
Obviously, leaning on our experts here in terms of what are the best practices, what do you need to do from hydrating to eating meals to the recovery. These guys have researched and talked to a lot of people, and I feel really confident with our plan and what we're going to do. And, you know, the circumstances are the circumstances, but it's the same for both teams.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. tomorrow night. For the third time in four games, the Milwaukee Brewers had to play a game in extra innings. And in all three of those games, including last night, the Brewers lost. The St. Louis Cardinals took the game in 10 innings with a 3-2 win. The Brewers are off today before playing a three-game home series against Colorado this weekend. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A scattered shower or thunderstorm possible. Otherwise, partly cloudy today. Our high 77, the wind south becoming north at 5 to 10. Tonight, 52. Tomorrow and Saturday, a little fall-like with sunshine in the upper 60s. On Sunday, sunny with a high back to 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Todd Albaugh.
Everybody join us next time President Joe Biden visits Westby, Wisconsin. In the Southwest, we will cover it for you. Have your phone calls as well. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, September 5th, 2024, 61 days until Election Day. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or through our social media video feeds. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Well, more importantly, Hank Williams Jr. has a question for you.
Are you ready for the football?
Well, it's not a Monday night party. It's a Thursday night party as the NFL season officially kicks off tonight. Packers tomorrow. The Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, the WIAC, opens up tonight with a couple of games, including one from UW Stout. And our friend Riley Kleist, who's an assistant coach there, will join us to talk a bit about getting ready for the football season across Wisconsin and across America. So we've got that coming up to talk to you about today. Also on the program, we've got a couple of guests. It's Thursday, so of course it's Joe Zepecki. We are going to talk about how Eric Hovde's businesses have made investments in firms where moving jobs out of Wisconsin may have played a role in their viability or profitability. And it raises the question of whether a good elected official is determined by the ability to make money or the ability to protect hometown jobs. Well, here's some of the things that Congressman Brian Stile had to say recently. He wants to, quote unquote, investigate the Biden administration for having the audacity of suggesting that the federal government would, it would be good if they would encourage people to vote. Not vote a certain way, just encourage people to vote. And apparently in Republican circles these days, that's a conspiracy that needs to be investigated. Speaking of conspiracies, here comes Ron Johnson with a new one. The Great Depression was an inside job. We'll play a little snippet of that audio. We'll roll our eyes, and then we will move on from there. We will hear from J.D. Vance. The running mate for Donald Trump, the Ohio senator, was asked point blank last night, how do you make child care more affordable? You're going to want to hear the word salad that he offers up. And if you are anywhere in those circles of the child care crisis where it's tough to afford, it's tough to find, it's tough to find a good wage, it's tough to keep your doors open, you're not going to like J.D. Vance's answer. And it's going to tell you a lot about what he and other Republicans would do if they were to win elections in November as families turn to them and say, are you able to do anything to help? Well, here's what I could do, you know, get grandma and grandpa to help out and things like that. So we'll play that for you in a little bit. And, of course, it's Thursday, so we have our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. And we will talk with Angela Stroud, an assembly candidate from the Ashland area. It is a stormy morning here on Lake Wissota as a line of thunderstorms, a big line actually, covers northwest Wisconsin right now. It basically is everything from draw a line from Minocqua to Medford to Stanley down to Osseo down to Alma on the river, and everything northwest of there is part of a big line of thunderstorms that stretches, I mean, all the way from Omaha to Sioux Falls through Duluth Superior up to Hudson Bay, Canada. And that whole system is moving to the east-northeast. And so Brittany Merlot will tell us more about who's going to be getting the rain. And then when the rain is done, there's going to be a good chance of frost in areas of far northern Wisconsin coming up tomorrow night. So welcome to autumn. Welcome indeed. So along with dressing for rain at the bus stop, here are the temps to get the kids ready for: 65 right now in Chippewa Falls, 64 in Hayward, 60 in Park Falls, Wausau's at 56, Green Bay 54, La Crosse 66 right now, Wisconsin Rapids 58, Oshkosh 56, Madison 61, and it is 55 degrees in downtown Waukesha, where we find Mr. Greg Bach standing by for turning the dials and flipping the switches on this fine radio program. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you feeling?
I am feeling almost back to normal. I am not sounding back to normal yet, but I'm getting there.
I hear a little gravel in the voice. I hear a little, you know. Yeah. But you're sounding energetic and good. I like it.
It comes and goes. Yeah. But we got to do that for people like Tony, who puts up on YouTube at 6 a.m. diehard listener.
Okay.
We appreciate that. And he's looking forward to hearing from Angela Stroud, who he hopes to be his future state representative. Thanks for tuning in on that. Football coming up. Yeah. I would love to. Are you ready for some football?
I don't have a choice. It's going to be talked about on the radio.
Incessantly, yes. Yeah. So, like it or not, get your peacock ready if you want to catch the Packers tomorrow. Did I say that right? I don't know.
That's the worst.
Get
your peacock
it's
ready.
It's football season. It just doesn't really work. Are you going to get the app if you don't already? Are you going to go someplace that has it? You can call or text us your thoughts at 855-75-CIVIC or send us a text at that same number, 855-75-CIVIC. Are you getting your peacock ready for football season? We're also going to, when we have Riley Kleiston here about an hour from now, and we get to talking about the WIAC, I mean, we're used to hearing things like, you know, Stout playing Whitewater or Oshkosh playing Eau Claire. UW-La Crosse is heading to the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York this weekend to play their football team.
Are you ready for some football, you nerds?
Are you ready for some Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute? Stout is going to be hosting Carroll University, a small Waukesha County Presbyterian college. Go Pios is what their website says instead of Pioneers.
They're just down the street from here. I can walk there probably in about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, go cheer on the team bus as they head to Stout. Stevens Point is heading to Albion in Michigan. River Falls is heading to Alma of Michigan. Eau Claire is heading to Concordia Moorhead up by Fargo. Oshkosh is playing Wheaton of Illinois. Whitewater is playing John Carroll of Ohio. And Platteville is playing Lakeland. And I thought I was going to a small school when I went to UW-Eau Claire. But this reminds you, there are so many little schools out there that you don't know about, you don't hear about, except when, you know, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute is taking on UW Stout or UW La Crosse rather in football.
They need a slogan. They need a song. They need a song.
Was it George Carlin? I think it was George Carlin way back in his early stand-up days, who had the cheer for where he was going to school. And it was like, give me an I, give me an M, give me an M, give me an A, give me a C, give me a U, give me an... And by the time you got done with Immaculate Conception, the game was over. There was nothing left to cheer for. Alicia notes that, yes, this is messing up with her plans for high school football between the NFL playing Friday night and the Badgers played last Friday night. Yeah, it's weird.
Say the name of the school again.
Rensselaer. Rensselaer. Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute.
Yeah, this is
Troy,
their,
New York.
This is their theme song. Are you ready for some football?
Techno.
Techno Polytechnic.
Do you know when you, I said, are you ready for some football? And you said, do I have a choice? It reminded me of what what Jen, the Bachelorette, who was a UW-Madison alum, and the season finale of the Bachelorette was a couple of nights ago. And do you remember coming off of Top Chef Wisconsin? I kind of wondered out loud, hey, the next Bachelorette's from Wisconsin. Should we follow that? And I quickly answered my own question. And I was like, no, we can't do that. Boy, was that the right call?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. What's going on? What's the skinny?
So the season finale was on Tuesday, and again, I watch it. But everything that I've read about it, you see, Jen, she's crying, she's sobbing. The audience is, you know, clutching their pearls, because it turns out that after filming this wonderful proposal with this guy, this would be months ago. And then the big reveal was supposed to be two nights ago, and the happy couple was supposed to talk about what a great summer they had together. But over the summer, he just basically started ghosting her and said, you know, I don't really love you. I don't think this is going to work out. Basically, he played it all for TV. It was all acting, tugging on her heartstrings, eventually winning her over. And then to go, I just want to be on a TV show. And if you're ABC, you know, your first inclination is to go, all right, well, that blew up in our face. Never mind. We'll have to start over. But of course, you've now invested millions and millions of dollars into the show. So, of course, you're going to show it all. Leading up to the live finale where she's there sobbing because she's being just terrorized on national TV, having to relive going through all of this, falling in love with somebody, being dumped by that person. But by the way, let's roll the tape of that beautiful proposal from a few months ago. And they're like, should we roll it? And she's like, do I have a choice? I mean, I felt so bad for her.
Yeah,
hearing that. It's like, you know, a decent host, a decent network would have been like, you know what? No, you're right. Screw that guy. And let's just do this all over again. But no, to borrow a phrase from the kids, they did her dirty. They treated her so poorly, and there has been such a backlash against ABC and the producers of the show. And I'm here for it, because I get reality TV is not real. Okay. That doesn't mean we can't have some real moments of simple human compassion.
Yeah.
And that was not part of this. So I am really glad we did not get caught up in that. That's the most I ever have and most I ever will talk about The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Maybe Donald Trump was right and ABC is fake. Oh,
oh God.
I feel bad for her, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I got bills to pay. So I hope she's good, and I hope she's fine. And that guy can go kick rocks.
I'm just hoping there's karma for that guy. Yeah. But unfortunately, the way things work these days, he's probably going to be our future president. Welcome to reality TV world. Let's focus on some of the day's other news headlines coming up next. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Al Stewart has a birthday today. We'll tell you about that in today's history lesson coming up in just 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. Brewers lost in extra innings last night. No, this is not a broken record. This time it was in 10 innings, falling to the Cardinals 3-2. Why did they lose? Just this one statistic. When you go 0-15 with runners in scoring position, you're probably going to lose those games. The Brewers are off today and then start a three-game series at home against the Colorado Rockies starting tomorrow. But the game has been moved up to 5:10 tomorrow because of the Packer game tomorrow night as well. All right, we've known that President Biden is going to be coming to Southwest Wisconsin today. He's not coming just to make another old speech. He's going to be making good on his promise to provide more investments in rural electrification and other infrastructure improvements. In Westby, he's going to announce more than $7 billion in investments for 16 electric cooperatives that will provide electricity for rural areas across 23 states. The intent is to bring down the cost of badly needed internet connections in hard-to-reach areas. The funding, of course, coming from the Inflation Reduction Act, which passed in Congress along party lines. The law invests about $13 billion overall in rural electrification across multiple programs. And doing these projects will create 4,500 permanent jobs and about 16,000 construction jobs. And so keep that in mind. Keep the job creation in mind from the Inflation Reduction Act. Keep the lower bills in mind from the Inflation Reduction Act. When you see these ridiculous commercials that have been targeting Tammy Baldwin, there was one here in the Chippewa Valley last night targeting State Representative Jody Emerson, and all of them saying the same thing, that they support the government spending that caused inflation. And when you hear that, remember that that indicates they do not understand basic economics and that the reason our economy is the best in the world right now is because of those investments that were made to create jobs and to motivate consumer demand that got markets going again. Inflation was worldwide, and that was off the pandemic, coming off of an economic near depression. The things that were done by people like Tammy Baldwin, Jody Emerson, and others were the things that saved this economy. And that's what we need to be mindful of going forward. But when it comes to dollars and cents and how you make investments and things, it takes us to a new report about Eric Hovde. And this was in the Washington Post yesterday. Daniel Moranz wrote the article. And I'm just going to read the pertinent parts to you. And then you think about what this means with Eric Hovde as a money man versus somebody that we would trust with protecting our state economy and jobs. The article reads that as both a fund manager and an individual investor, Eric Hovde put millions of dollars into three companies that shipped jobs out of Wisconsin in favor of cheaper places. At the end of 2008, Hovde Capital reported an investment of over $15 million in NCR Corporation, which makes ATMs. A few months later, NCR announced it would close a manufacturing plant in Viroqua, laying off 81 employees. The company moved production to Tennessee, where manufacturing workers earn less. Hovde Capital also invested in two manufacturing companies shortly after they laid off Wisconsin workers. Hovde Capital invested $4.5 million in Briggs & Stratton, a pressure washer and generator manufacturer in the third quarter of 2010. A year earlier, Briggs & Stratton had significantly reduced its Wisconsin workforce. In July 2009, the company announced it would close two factories in Jefferson and Watertown and moved hundreds of production jobs to Georgia and Alabama. Finally, Hovde reported owning a small stake in two hedge funds that invested in Polaris Industries, a snowmobile and off-road vehicle manufacturer that shipped jobs out of Wisconsin. In May 2010, Polaris announced it would shift its snowmobile factory in Osceola and move about 500 jobs to Iowa, Minnesota, and Mexico. Now, a campaign spokesman says that these were passive investments in publicly traded companies, and Hovde Capital had no operational involvement or control, and that by this standard, any American with a 401k is responsible for those same job losses. To which I would respond, no, not exactly. Bankers, big-time bankers like Eric Hovde, hold sway over these kinds of investments. And he's proven that he can invest in companies that, if they outsource jobs, if they did in the past or are about to, it might make those companies more viable, might make them more profitable. And that's fine. None of this is illegal. It raises the question of judgment. Do we want somebody, an elected official, who is only going to make decisions based on profit and loss and damn the consequences for Wisconsin jobs? Because we already have that. We've got that senator already. Remember, it was exactly 2 years ago that Ron Johnson was getting heat for refusing to push Oshkosh Defense to locate 1,000 new jobs at a union facility in Oshkosh. The company had landed a multi-billion-dollar federal contract to build up to 65,000 U.S. Postal Service trucks. They chose to produce the vehicles in South Carolina with non-union work rather than in their hometown plant. And Ron Johnson wouldn't go to bat for the town. Instead, remember what he said? He said, "It's not like we don't have enough jobs here in Wisconsin." Do we really need another senator like that? But while we're on the topic of Ron Johnson, I just want to play this quick snippet. I don't have much else to add, but he was on a far-right radio program, and he was asked about debt and staving off a debt crisis. And here's just a little clip of Ron Johnson telling you the Great Depression was an inside job.
Is it possible to stave off an actual debt crisis when the only thing, the best thing we're going to get out of this upcoming budget, I'm using finger quotes, debate, is an extension of the continuing resolution in exchange for not allowing illegal aliens to vote? Is there something that can head off the debt crisis that can give, let's assume, a Trump presidency time to work on these things?
Well, we've been doing it for years by just printing more money. Now, well, one of the interesting revelations of Creature from Jekyll Island is the fact that the Great Depression was pretty well planned. You know, all the big money men were pretty well warned that they were going to finally collapse the system. I mean, they had booms and busts. They had to finally just collapse the system, kind of start all over. So pull your money out of the market. And so, again, they're the big and powerful, you know, the Joseph Kennedys of the world, you know, the J.P. Morgans of the world. They got off scot-free. They got out of the market in time. So, again, I know this. I know it really sounds like conspiracy theory. I don't completely understand it, but it sure seems... It's just in my bones. I just feel there's a great deal of corruption and control there that the vast majority of people do not understand. And again,
the vast majority of people do not understand, including Ron Johnson. But he feels it in his bones. He feels it in his bones that the Great Depression was an inside job. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with.
Our senior senator. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So we're going to talk to Joe Zepecki next about a little bit about the Eric Hovde report and more. A little later, we'll talk about Brian Stile as well, wanting to investigate the Biden administration for wanting the federal government to be more encouraging of having Americans vote. And apparently that's a partisan thing. If you encourage people to vote, there's only one political party in the developed world that believes something like that. But we'll talk to Joe about that and so much more ahead on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I don't have to tell any Wisconsin farmer we are in tough shape as far as profitability for corn and soybean prices going into the harvest. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Some new forecasts are out that show in 2025 that situation may not change, but there might be a little brighter spot for dairy. That's the word from Dr. Pat Westhoff. He's the director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri. He said, given current consumption levels, dairy might be seeing a better 2025.
If feed costs come down, that may indeed be able to get people back to a break-even or maybe slight profits for the most efficient producers. But we're not talking about high levels of profitability in the dairy industry anytime soon. We'll continue to have contraction of the herds that are higher cost producers and continued concentration industry in the years ahead. Dairy, like almost any other major commodity, is very reliant on international markets these days. So changes in production in New Zealand and Australia and changes in demand from China and other countries can swing those prices around dramatically from one year to the next, as we've seen.
Dr. Pat Westhoff, he is the director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri. He said one area that still shocks him is beef. He said while prices continue to escalate, consumers don't look like they're going to quit buying beef anytime soon. Markets in overnight electronic trade as we get started on a Thursday again. More red ink on the way. Numbers are up next.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
Yesterday, barrel cheese dropped a penny to $2.25. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a half at $2.23, and AA butter dropped a half to $3.14¾ per pound. The October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 22 cents right now at $22.78 a hundredweight. Corn, beans, and wheat all lower on this morning's trade. Just a quick market snapshot for you. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A scattered shower or thunderstorm possible, otherwise partly cloudy today. Our high 77, the wind south becoming north at 5 to 10. Tonight 52, tomorrow and Saturday a little fall-like with sunshine in the upper 60s. On Sunday, sunny with a high back to 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the ear.
Right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Jane Matinaire and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us for a discussion on what's going on in her campaign for Congress. We also have J.R. Radcliffe with sports and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinaire on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Up North News Radio continues on this Thursday morning. Our friend Joseph Pecky is here to help us go over some of the top political stories of the week. Some of them fairly fresh here, Mr. Zepecki. How are you today?
There's a lot going on, man. The post-Labor Day drop the flag and we're off to November did not waste any time, did it?
No. And I think it's going to be this way for the 61 days yet to follow. So a couple of stories that we hit at the top of the broadcast that I thought I would get your take on as well. The one about Hovde's investments, the other Brian Stiles, quote unquote, investigation of get out the vote efforts. Let's start with Hovde because it's easy for somebody to dismiss a story like this in the Huffington Post to say, oh, companies invest in other companies all the time and they can't possibly know that there might be some outsourcing that's coming or not coming. And I just don't know that it's that easy to let Eric Hovde off the hook, somebody who is a Wisconsin native, who has a Wisconsin, perspective. Yeah, he's in California, but if you're investing in anything remotely close to Wisconsin, I got to think there should be more to this than just, some pieces on a checkerboard.
You'd like to think so. And you'd like to think that somebody who is an investor would be an active investor. And that's the part of this that I think people have a problem with, is when you have so much money that businesses and employees are just reduced to numbers on a spreadsheet, that's not helpful to anyone. And so then when you have what I think was a couple hundred jobs that used to be done by Wisconsinites being moved to Mexico, those couple of hundred Wisconsin families, they weren't names on a spreadsheet. They are living, breathing human beings who went to work every day trying to build a better life for they and their family. And for rich guys like Eric Hovde to be monkeying around in all these businesses and all these places with all these pots of money, and their last concern is always the women and men doing the work on the front lines. It's just gross. It's not illegal. It's certainly pro forma and what you do if you have that kind of money, but that doesn't mean that we should ever get over it on behalf of working people. It's just ridiculous. And it stands in stark contrast to some other big news that may break today, which is that the Biden administration is going to formally challenge foreign ownership of U.S. Steel. That is what proper, sound government intervention into a free market economy looks like, because it protects the national security interests and the economic interests of American companies and American employees. And so there's the contrast, folks. With Eric Hovde and Republicans, you get rich guy capitalism, where these businesses are just lines and boxes on a spreadsheet, and they don't care if a job gets shipped overseas. He wasn't really that involved, is the best explanation they can give. Whereas Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are fighting to protect U.S. interests and U.S. jobs in the economy. That's the difference.
It really comes back to something we talked about yesterday, that Vice President Kamala Harris was going to call for this major increase in tax incentives for small business development. Mm-hmm. And the need to take care of your local businesses and encourage startup of local businesses rather than coddling big multinational corporations that, like you said, just move things back and forth with impunity from state to state, from country to country. Again, not illegal, but who do you really think is going to be working most for the jobs in your backyard?
Amen. So this is near and dear to me. As you know, Pat, but some of your listeners may not, when I worked in the Obama administration, I was at SBA, the Small Business Administration. I had the opportunity to work on behalf of and get to know small business owners from across the country. And let me tell you, those mom and pops, whether it's a dry cleaning business or a family restaurant or a startup manufacturing company, they're like, small businesses are where job creation and economic vitality come from in this country. 2/3 of new jobs created in the U.S. economy come from startup businesses, from new small businesses. That is what we should be encouraging. We should not be further rewarding titans of industry and, you know, financial pirates like Eric Hovde, who go, well, if I buy this company and then they downsize and then I flip it, maybe I can turn a quick buck. That's just that's not economic development. That's not knowing what it takes to make a small business go. There are hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites who do work at small businesses or own their own small businesses who know that clicking a few buttons on a spreadsheet like Eric Hovde was doing from his, you know, his Laguna mansion out in California, that's not running a small business. That's not being a business person in today's economy. It's just, I don't think it's, once again, Eric Hovde demonstrating for all the world to see that the lived experience of ordinary Wisconsinites is not something he is familiar with.
No. And so now bringing it back to President Biden's trip to Westby and talking about local investments, both in, you know, infrastructure, but also in, you know, housing and in energy improvements and ways that school districts and local governments can upgrade their energy efficiency and create jobs and do installation jobs. The point of it being, it's a lot more work, Joe, to get all of these little pieces, these little businesses, these little units of government funded for this and that. But isn't that what the work of government is supposed to be, rather than saying to these big companies, here's a big tax break or here's right. a big check, and gosh, we sure hope you take care of us?
Yeah, no, it's no question. I mean, that's the tax policy of Donald Trump and the Republican Party allows corporate executives to cash out even bigger bonuses for these companies to do even bigger stock buybacks. And that's not rewarding hard work. That's rewarding people who write campaign contribution checks. What the Biden-Harris agenda, what the Inflation Reduction Act has done is use the mighty power of the federal government and not insignificant amounts of our tax dollars, but put it to work where it matters. Right. So, for example, here in Wisconsin, we've got 82 developments at some place in the pipeline when it comes to renewable and clean sources of energy. Well, Wisconsin's four major utilities have pledged that due to the tax incentives in the Inflation Reduction Act, they're going to hire local union workforce for all of those projects. That's something that was announced in March, and it makes a difference because it means that for years to come, hundreds and thousands of Wisconsin union workers are going to have jobs to go to when the one they're on right now is done, to say nothing of the bipartisan infrastructure law that is rebuilding roads and bridges and highways right now. These are Wisconsinites doing that work. That's what federal policy can and should do, not what Donald Trump, Eric Hovde, and their ilk want to do, which is just pass an even bigger tax cut.
And by the way, a lot of this work is being done not in Wisconsin's biggest cities or America's biggest cities, but in smaller towns, in rural areas. And that's what
places like Westby.
Exactly. And that's where both the Wall Street Journal and The Guardian have done stories on Tammy Baldwin's appeal to rural voters, people who will probably vote for Trump, but they're going to vote for her as well, just as in the past she has picked up, you know, people that typically vote Republican, but they want to vote for her as well. What's the secret of this Madison native, this congresswoman from the legislature who moves on to the House and then the Senate to have this kind of appeal? I know it sounds awfully generic, but to be a good listener and to have a Midwestern work ethic at least seems like a good starting point.
Good starting point, but you also got to get results. And Tammy Baldwin does. I mean, that's the reality of it. She tells a great story about meeting a worker at a foundry who's wearing a Trump hat. And, you know, it was a little like, you know, well, I guess we'll move on to the next one. But he kind of stopped her and said, you know, if it weren't for you, this company wouldn't be here. And that's because of the Make It in America legislation that Tammy Baldwin championed, that different versions of it were first signed by President Trump, and then an updated version was signed by Joe Biden to make sure that the federal government is using its purchasing power to purchase American-made goods and materials. That's a common sense thing that has saved jobs, saved entire industries here in Wisconsin. She got results. And so I think people respect that no matter where their politics might lie. They understand people who just kind of talk the talk, but they also understand and appreciate people who walk the walk. That's what Tammy Baldwin does. And I do think it speaks to, frankly, how extreme the Republican Party has gotten on a lot of these issues. There's an underappreciated segment of the electorate this year that I call Dobbs dads, which are men who are offended by the notion that you would take away access to IVF, who are offended by the notion that the federal government is going to decide for their daughters what they can or cannot do, for a federal government that's going to inject itself into the exam room with their daughter and their patient. We talk a lot about abortion as a woman's issue. It is not just a woman's issue. There are dads all over the state of Wisconsin who are perhaps newly radicalized or mobilized by the extreme version, by the Project 2025 MAGA version of what Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Eric Hovde, and the like will do if given the reins of power in Washington, D.C., and what that will mean for their daughters and granddaughters.
Now to the ridiculousness of Congress right now and the prospect of another government shutdown threat, this time Republicans saying you've got to add this redundant measure about undocumented immigrant voting. The fixation, the obsession of every Republican campaign on the border and immigrants and crime. At this point, again, risking another government shutdown is almost a disorder, Joe.
It's a disorder, and I will tip my hat. It's message discipline. You know, there was the old Joe Biden line about Rudy Giuliani. It was a noun, a verb, and 9/11 every sentence out of the guy's mouth.
Right.
Every sentence out of Republicans' mouth is a noun, a verb, and election interference or illegal immigration. And when they can combine them into mucking up the gears of government, why not? It's the challenge is it's so stupid. It's just so disconnected from reality that you almost don't want to focus on it because it weakens trust from everyone in institutions like Congress. So you just got to point out, like, there are serious people in Washington, D.C. There are serious policymakers who are thinking about you and your family. They're just not Republicans. And I'm sorry to put it that way, but these hijinks over the government spending and a shutdown, this ridiculousness from Brian Stile over a Biden executive order that says, you know, one of the things government ought to do is make voting easier. And somehow they see some kind of hidden conspiracy. These are not serious people who go to Washington intending to govern. They are all Republicans. And all they seem to be interested in is winning re-election and preserving whatever modicum of power they have. I don't get that, right? They're allowed to do it, but I don't get it. If I had any kind of power at all, I think I'd want to use it for good, to move us forward, to address challenges. Instead, they'd rather just bark at the moon and say, well, you got to make non-citizen voting illegal in this country. It already is. Do you just want to underline, bold, and highlight it in the federal code? What are we doing here, people?
Yes, if we could use a bolder font in the statute books, please. otherwise, we're going to shut everything down. And again, the issue itself, whatever validity it may have, is completely drowned out by the silence of not actually proposing anything productive in the way of jobs and protecting voting rights and education and health care. There's just no there, except, again, Brian Stile's latest quote-unquote investigation.
There isn't, and there's a cost to it. I wish we had enough time today. Maybe we will next week. Big report out this week. The smart guys when it comes to the economy, Goldman Sachs, the Trump-Vance plan will hurt U.S. GDP. The Harris plan will boost U.S. GDP. You want to be a pro-economy voter? Vote Harris.
And that's Goldman Sachs, okay? So just remember that when they're calling Kamala Harris a communist, as opposed to the better choice for capitalists. Joe Zepecki, thank you, as always. Have a great start to the weekend.
You too.
Today's History Lesson is up next. You're up north.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Al Stewart is 77 years old today, the Scottish singer-songwriter. And that's his big 1976 hit single, Year of the Cat. On a morning from a full got moving. Also the name of the platinum album that featured that single. And then 2 years later, he had another platinum follow-up, Time Passages, the album and the single. This is today's history lesson for September 5th, 2024. Somebody who was born in 1964, when kind of the rock era began, has a thing about going back 60 years ago. And 60 years ago today, the number one hit in the U.S. was a British group, The Animals. Greg, I shudder at the thought of how many garage bands have learned these chords and tried to get... is that Eric Burton's voice, I assume? Tried to get that just right.
Oh, yeah. That's Eric Burton, all right. That voice is one of my dad's favorite songs ever.
And you can do the first one. Get down there, the house is in New Orleans. Here comes verse two. Try this. At that point, a lot of garage bands go, you know what? No, let's move on. What else can we learn?
let's learn some instrumentals. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a beautiful song. Good Lord.
Yep. Tony writes in, House of the Rising Sun. What a great Robert Zimmerman song. Rising Sun, Bob Dylan.
Ha.
Yep.
Ha.
Let's see. It was there's a dark day on the calendar here, 1972. This is one of the first like news events that I can remember as a kid, and that of course would be the massacre, Black September at the 1972 Munich Olympic Games, where a Palestinian terror group took hostage 11 Israeli athletes. Two would die in the attack. 9 would be murdered the following day. I'll just never forget Jim McKay looking at the camera and saying, they're all gone. And what a dark day that was. And it really changed the way that some nations looked at hostage situations and talked about mounting rescue operations and making them more intricately planned in the future. Birthdays today include Freddie Mercury of Queen.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time.
I love, I think this must be on like a Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, because I've got the 5-year-old grandson knows almost every word to this song because they play it all the time. And to watch a 5-year-old singing this, if that doesn't bring you joy, I mean, nothing's gonna.
Have you ever seen the film Shaun of the Dead?
No, I've not.
I think you, first of all, I think you'd really enjoy it. It's the best zombie movie ever. It's so hilarious. But there's a scene in it where they're beating a zombie to the beat of this song, just hitting. It's so wonderful. So wonderful.
Let's see. We lost Bob Newhart just over a month ago. Today would have been his 95th birthday, born this day in 1929. Terry Ellis is 61. She is the co-founder of En Vogue. So Free Your Mind is just one of the all-time best songs, and you thought that it would maybe help more people be a little less prejudicial in their observations on life, but we're still fighting that battle.
Yeah.
But Terry Ellis is 61 today. This is Jon Stewart's anniversary of his birth, the late Jon Stewart, not the guy from The Daily Show, the singer-songwriter. He was originally part of the Kingston Trio. He wrote songs for others, and then he had his own top five hit, with Stevie Nicks doing a little work in the background back in the 1970s.
When the lights go down in the California town, I didn't know this.
Yeah. Jon Stewart was the name of the singer-songwriter who did this, along with Stevie Nicks in the background. He passed away back in 2008.
Also a beloved Green Lantern. That's for my comic book nerds out there.
He also, so of the songs he wrote, he also wrote the Monkees' number one hit, Daydream Believer. Same guy who's doing this song did Daydream Believer. Which, by the way, in your Monkees trivia, don't confuse that with the Monkees' I'm a Believer, which was written by Neil Diamond. And now you know.
Yes. I love that. And now you know.
And now you know the rest of the story. It is a very short calendar today. This is National Cheese Pizza Day, to which I go, no, why? Why? Put something on there. I know people disagree on toppings, and sometimes they have to scale back to find the least common denominator. But to scale it all the way back to cheese? Come on, put something on that.
Are there 8-year-olds at this party?
And it is Be Late for Something Day, which, I mean, a lot of people would refer to as Thursday. You know, it's just that's their jam. They're going to be late for something every day. So while we've got 2 minutes here, let's go back for a moment, Greg, and let's listen to J.D. Vance and the word salad that he offers up here real quick. It was a very direct question. And I bring it up. We're going to play it again in the next hour because Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good immediately jumped on this and mocked it at the Motherhood for Good site. But just to set it up again, do you have it ready?
I do.
Let's give a listen, J.D. Vance, on how to solve the child care crisis.
What can we do about lowering the cost of daycare? Hayden, obviously a working family, and it's very hard for working families to get by. How will we lower the cost of daycare?
You know, such an important question, Charlie. And I think one of the things that we can do is make it easier for family models to choose, or for families to choose whatever model they want, right? So one of the ways that you might be able to relieve a little bit of pressure on people who are paying so much for daycare is make it so that you know, maybe like grandma or grandpa wants to help out a little bit more. Or maybe there's an aunt or uncle that wants to help out a little bit more. If that happens, you relieve some of the pressure on all the resources that we're spending in daycare. Now, you talk about just daycare. Let's say you don't have somebody who can provide that extra set of hands. What we've got to do is actually empower people to get trained in the skills that they need for the 21st century. We've got a lot of people who love kids, who would love to take care of kids, but they can't either because they don't have access to the education that they need, or maybe more importantly, because the state government says you're not allowed to take care of children unless you have some ridiculous certification that has nothing to do, nothing to do with taking care of kids.
Okay, so thank you, JD. Thank you very much. Yeah, gotcha. So we don't need certification. We don't need education. We don't need training. And get grandma and grandpa to do it. Why did I never think of that before? That's part of what we'll talk to with Motherhood for Good. And our.
This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we do our popcorn pick of the week with Laughing Mountain Popcorn. Greg Badney talks this weekend's Sputnik Fest, and Ian O'Connor discusses his new book about Aaron Rodgers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.